and God's provided. So just pray and so good. But anyway, I have a message I want to share with all of you this morning, and it's found in Luke chapter 19. And I really want to share this scripture, this portion of scripture with you. And could you stand with me? I want to read one more time. I want to get your blood flowing. Stand with me one more time. Luke 19, verse 1, if you have it, please. It'll be up on the screen if you don't have it. Luke 19, 1. It's such a powerful scripture, and I want you to prepare your heart. And God's going to speak to us this morning in something just beautiful. You're going to see. And so, Luke 19, verse 1, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Is that pretty cool so far? It is. So let's pray. Lord, make it divine in our hearts. Help us to step into Zacchaeus' life, into this moment in Jericho, into even the tree, and hear the voice of God and speak to us today like you spoke to Zacchaeus. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't sit. Check this out. Here's the title of my message. Guess who's coming to dinner? Amen. You may give your brother or sister a high five. Say, Jesus is coming to dinner. You may be seated. Now, what's so pretty awesome about this message, I've shared this message years ago, even a couple of 3 years ago, I can't remember, and God directed me in another way. And as I was studying, I kind of just revamped and it just moved, and God gave me this beautiful revelation. And that awesome title. So this title, this was a movie, I think, back in 1957. If you remember Sidney Poitier, remember, guess who's coming to dinner? It was about a white girl who brought home Sidney Poitier, who's African American, and of course Spencer Tracy, I think, was the father. Cool movie, amen. And sometimes we're shocked who our children bring home for dinner, amen. And you know, especially my father and mother, boy, they were shocked when we brought people home for dinner. Amen. I was so crazy. My father was so out of line. My father used to literally say this: if I brought a girlfriend home, if you're Spanish, black, white, Italian, I would prepare them. And I say, my father is going to say this: if you're dating my son, he ain't no good. That means you ain't no good. And that was usually the greeting. Now, there was some sarcasm and so forth in that. But there was a little bit of truth as well. But in any case, guess who's coming to dinner? So we see this incredible story and of what took place, you know, in Zechariah's life. And it's so beautiful because there's just so much to speak about. Now, let me talk a little bit about, you know, what was happening here, you know, in this story as we really get into it. Because let me give you just a little backdrop. What was taking place here is the Romans, you know, literally hired Jews who knew the people. Listen to this, who Zacchaeus is, to collect the taxes, and they would find the corrupt Jewish thugs to do so. And most of these thugs were vile thieves. They were. And that's why the Romans could trust them, because their loyalty was not really to the Jewish people. It was to the almighty dollar, and the fear of Rome was in them. And they would overcharge their Jewish you know, countrymen to fill their pockets with silver and gold. And so we know that Zacchaeus, if you think about it, it says his heart was dirty. And all of a sudden, you'll see how God begins to deal with a dirty heart. How many here know that Jesus loves sinners? Amen? And so we see that this is who he is. And it's just an incredible scene that took place. Now, I know there's certain ways how the tax collectors would steal money. They would get silver dimes, or well, we would see it as a dime. It would be a dollar or $5, whatever. But it was a dime-sized silver, some a little bigger. They would literally shave around the edge where silver would sprinkle off. Now, if you got hundreds and thousands of these, you get a pile. So these tax collectors not only ripped off, because it tells them that Zacchaeus would make accusations to people, you know, and threaten them. So he's ripping the Jews off, and he's ripping the Romans off too by shaving the dollar. So there's Zacchaeus, and I'll be honest with you, not a lot of people really like tax collectors anyway. Amen. In fact, not a lot of people like taxes. You know what I'm saying? And so this is who he is. And so we see this incredible scene taking place of this young man of Zacchaeus. So Jesus is walking through Jericho, and isn't it awesome that Jesus knows all things and he's on a mission? In other words, God's got a plan for your life. No matter what you're thinking or what you're going through, you'll see at the end, God hears your prayers, knows your situation, and somehow he's going to remember you. Come on, somebody. Amen? And that's the awesome God we serve. Let me talk to you a few things this morning, because, you know, about Zacchaeus and really, really, you know, some things that really transform your life. You know, what transforms our life. Number one, what's interesting about Zacchaeus is he was short in stature. Am I right? How many here know number one divine truth today in transformation is this? Great things comes in small packages. Amen? Doesn't matter your stature, doesn't matter your height, it doesn't matter anything. What matters is that God's got a plan for your life. Hallelujah. And so you've got to understand this, that great things comes. Now, verse 3 says this, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Now, let me just share this with you. When I think of this story, a biblical character instantly comes to my mind, and you probably would understand it. How many here would think King David? Amen? If you really understand the story, because when Goliath came and threatened everybody, you know, you got to understand what Eliab, David's brothers, called David. When David said, "Listen, I got this. I'll go after Goliath." You know what they said to his brothers? His brothers literally said to him, "You know, you're just a rut. You're just a small rut." And it was unbelievable, because really, his brothers thought he was foolish, you know, and they said, "You little runt, go back and feed your sheep." That's basically what they said. Eliab missed it. His brothers missed it. And then later on, when God said, "I'm going to anoint a king," yes, to Samuel, Samuel comes and he brings all of David's brothers. And God says, "Wait a minute, Samuel, there's one more missing." And Samuel goes, "Who?" And he goes to Eliab, "Who's else?" And he goes, "Oh, you mean David? The little runt over there is watching the sheep." And so how many know this, the beautiful saying that God had to speak to Samuel, because Samuel missed it. God said to Samuel, "Samuel, man looks at the statue and the height of the person, but God looks at the heart." Come on, somebody. Amen. And so it doesn't matter how big, how strong. What matters is what type of heart that you got. Amen? Because listen, great things come in small packages. Now, God doesn't look at the stature of the size. We know that. He looks at the size of the heart. We know that. And so, but here's an incredible thing about doing great things and crazy things for God. Don't miss this, because remember, Eliab thought David was foolish. They all thought David was foolish. But sometimes you have to look foolish to become great. Listen. Great things often start out with foolish ideas. Think about it. Noah looked foolish building an ark in a desert when it never rained. Are you hearing me? How many of you know Sarah looked foolish buying maternity clothes at 90 years old? Come on, somebody. Amen. David looked foolish attacking Goliath with a slingshot. Benaniah, later on, is one of David's armor bearer. Do you know what he did? One day he jumps into a pit on a snowy day just to get a workout with a lion, and he wrestles and kills a lion. How many here know that Benaniah looked foolish wrestling in the lion's den? How many here know the wise men looked foolish following a star? How many here know that Peter looked foolish stepping out in a boat, walking on the water? And Zacchaeus looked foolish climbing a tree. But that's faith, that's obedience, that's passion, and that's what transforms people's lives. Amen. Come on, give them some glory. Because great things come in small packages. And so Zacchaeus, man, he was just a short guy, but God did a miracle in his life. Now don't forget this. Listen to this. I think I have this up here. You can put it up. Remember this. It's not what God can do for you, but it's what God can do through you. Amen? Can I say it again? It's not what God can do for you, it's what God can do through you. So number one, we understand that great things come in small packages. Number two, let me give you another divine reality that transforms Zacchaeus' life. Number two, listen to this. And don't miss this. I share this with everybody. I share this with people I witness to. I share this with people who are just struggling and they have a hard time coming to church. Here's this divine truth that transforms Zacchaeus. He seized the moment and he positioned himself. You got to seize the moment and position yourself. Amen? So verse 4 says, he heard Jesus. He heard Jesus is in town. And it says, verse 4, he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Just picture this. Zacchaeus had no clue that a miracle was going to take place in his life. However, something in him said, I want to see Jesus. Amen? Something caused him to climb this tree. Zacharias ran ahead. First of all, he tried to position himself and he ran ahead and climbed a tree. And Zacchaeus, listen to this, made one simple decision to run ahead and it divinely transformed his life. And I'll tell everyone here today, don't miss church. Don't miss the opportunity to tithe. Don't miss the opportunity to serve. Because when you position yourself in God's realm, in God's divine kingdom, God is ready to bless you and bless your family. Come on, amen? Hallelujah. God is so good. Because think about it. You know, Zacchaeus just made one decision. That's it. He made one decision that became the most powerful, life-transforming, life-redeeming decision he's ever made. He made one decision, and one decision can determine your destiny. One decision to climb a tree that elevated his life. Hallelujah. Here's the problem with the church. Here's the problem with society. So many of us are blinded by climbing the ladder of success rather than climbing the tree to see Jesus. And I say society, but I also say the church. Because sometimes we get so distracted with our career, so distracted with our school, it's so important, so distracted that we say, I don't have time to go to church. Amen? I can't afford to tithe. Can I say this? You can't afford not to go to church. You can't afford not to tithe. Amen? And Zacchaeus has a lesson here, a teaching. This crazy thieving thug puts some of us Christians to shame. Are you hearing me? Amen? And so what's taking place here? He ran ahead. What happened? How did he do that? Listen to this. Zacchaeus ran ahead, climbed the tree, and it jump-started his divine future. One decision, one position can transform your life. Hallelujah. Amen? Listen to this. Listen to this. He had an inspiration that transformed his life into transformation that transformed him to a revelation of Jesus. Am I right? Now, I wrote this. Let me give you this here. It's a little thing I put together. Let me give you a simple, foolish thought I have. How many here know sometimes foolish things are pretty awesome? Amen? Here's a thought, foolish thought I had that inspired me to write down one day. Are you ready? Listen to this. When your inspiration transforms information into revelation, and information becomes revelation, then revelation becomes transformation. Then transformation becomes your motivation. Then your motivation becomes your demonstration. And demonstration becomes your proclamation. And your proclamation becomes your declaration. And your declaration becomes your elevation. And your elevation becomes your destination. And your destination becomes you that God will use to rock the world. Come on, somebody. This is really what Zacchaeus experienced in his life. Folks, it's time to climb a tree. Amen? And so we see this take place. Now, because he positioned himself, he seized the moment. Think about it. And he literally got in a position to see Jesus. Jesus honored that. And here's let me give you this other divine reality that literally transforms your life. Listen to this. Number three, Zacchaeus received a word from God that transformed his life. This hit me last night, or actually I then got up early in the morning. I couldn't sleep. And it really hit me because a couple of Sundays ago, I preached the message, The Power of Joy. Do you remember that? We spoke about Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's something about joy. Can you say joy? And there is. It's a fruit of the Spirit, a powerful fruit of the Spirit. You know the devil tries to take away your joy. In fact, I want to show you something in this scripture. Listen to what it says. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now watch verse 6. It says, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Come on, somebody. Someone say joy. Now first I got to say this. You know, I got to say this. I think Jesus laughed and started giggling and looked up and said, he is out of his mind. Amen? And I think Jesus said, I love this guy. Because how many here know when you get radical with Jesus, Jesus gets radical for you. Hallelujah. When you're radical for Jesus, Jesus gets radical for you. I'll share a story. I have the whole detail now. I forget his name. As I'm telling it, maybe I'll remember. How many here have ever seen this yellow sign that says John 3:16 in the end zone of football games? That's Rockin' Roland Smith. Might not be Smith, but it's Rockin' Roland. You know what Rockin' Roland did? One day he had an idea. He got radically saved. And he said, I am going to bring a yellow sign. I'm going to position myself where they hit field goals, where they hit this and all that, and just get in the stands. He got all his friends to give him money. He positioned himself. I forget what game it was, but it was on national TV. Somehow he made it in the stadium, got this oak tag, yelled John 3:16. And from that day on, thousands and thousands and thousands of people have seen the wonderful scripture, John 3:16, all over the world. Why? Because Rockin' Roland just had an incredible radical idea and he climbed a tree. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You know. Listen, we started a ministry called Rock the Block, right, years ago. And in 2004, actually, it was birthed. And it was radical. It was radical. I shared this with you. I might have shared it before. And I shared with you. We were preaching one day in Harlem, 104th Street and 10th Avenue, or Lexington. And as I was preaching, just like I was trained by Brother Dave, we had just simple stages and speakers and all that stuff, and gave out a little balloon that said, Jesus loves you and all that. And this young kid was walking by and didn't even look at me as I'm preaching. And people got saved, family, drug addicts, and that. But I had such a burden. Actually, I was so angry. I said, I grabbed my director of outreach. I said, come here. And he goes, what's up? I said, I'm just so burdened. He goes, what's up with you? Because I was literally, you know, you get burdened, you almost look angry. I said, this young kid, who was like 15, didn't even have an iPhone. iPhones weren't happening really in 2004. You know, I had my little phone, but it wasn't an iPhone. I had my Nokia. Come on, somebody. Don't you love when you see those elderly, mature men and women that still have the flip-top Nokia? Oh, I love it. Anyway, so we went back, and you know the story. We just prayed, and we said, we got to do something crazy, amen? And we literally got a theme, Rock the Block. We had a stage call like American Idol. We had people come out, and they had to do their breakdance and this and that. We made it Christ-centered, Holy Ghost. It wasn't any kind of stuff. We had a rap, spoken word. We had a vision, and we just did it. And then we put a proposal together, and I'm not kidding. We sent proposals out. One was to Smithtown. They sent us $25,000. We got another grant, $100,000, another $100,000. We bought trucks, we bought scaffolds, we bought lights, action. We went back to New York City on a mission, radical for Jesus. Those young 15-year-olds were running to the stage. Come on, somebody. But because we got out of the box, amen? And this is the stuff that you learn from this guy Zacchaeus, old Zach, amen? And so now let me expound on the fact that just a little more, you know, he was known as a sinner. Zacchaeus was known as a sinner. Amen? And it says this because as soon as Jesus spoke to him, and Jesus says, we're staying at your house. We're partying at your house tonight, Zach. Guess what happens? It says this, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. How many know when you begin to do great stuff for God or whatever, everybody starts criticizing you? How many know the haters come out of the walls? Right? The doubters, the haters, amen? Get all jealous and envious. Isn't that incredible, the thinking? Instead of thinking, hey, man, maybe Zacchaeus will get saved and he won't extort us anymore. Amen. The devil twists their minds. But here's what's so awesome. And I'll get back to this in a minute. But let me share something with you because I don't know. It was a couple of years ago, I think it was. And Dominique just put up a post on Facebook. And she wrote this statement. The true test of Christianity, I am learning, isn't about only loving Jesus, it's about loving Judas. So some people put in there, oh, you know, you got to stop stereotyping people and all this stuff. And this one, but now I might say, I gotta send a message to people, amen? Because this isn't about labeling people. It's symbolic of what Jesus said, we should love our sinners. Judas symbolically represents those who are enemies of God. It's about those who are so lost, deeply bound in sin and in rebellion that we Christians tend to avoid. Help us, Lord, to love and reach out to the hardcore, hurting people that so desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what we learned and we taught you, Dominique, through our outreaches in the hardcore streets of New York City with David Wilkerson, rescuing the Judases and the Rahabs and bringing them the Teen Challenge and raising them up to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Then I quoted this. I love what C.T. Studd said, and it's right. Some like to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell, but I'd rather run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Dom got off the phone, and all of a sudden her friend started calling, that fired your dad up. Yep, it sure did, amen? Because that's our call, amen? It's not about stereotyping or labeling. It's about loving the lost at any cost. Come on, that's what the church is all about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, and last night as I was reading it, and this morning, I was so blown away by this portion of Scripture. And I'll get it to you in just a moment. We'll come back to that truth about we're here to go after the Judases and the Rahabs and all that good stuff. Let me get to it real quick, because you got to see something. Now, don't miss this. He was a sinner. We know that. And I read that to you, that they were saying that Jesus is going to be a guest of a sinner. Now, that was Zacchaeus' testimony. That's who he was. That's what everybody, the thug, the extortioner, the tax collector, the thief. That's who his testimony was. But don't miss this divine reality. Zacchaeus received a word from God that transformed his life. Remember, that's our third dynamic. Our third dynamic is Zacchaeus received a word from God that transformed his life. Let me pause for a moment. Because God has spoken to every one of us. Every one of us, and you're going to see something in here that blew me away just now as I look, because I just wanted to find out what Zacchaeus meant in the Greek. What is his word? What does his name represent? I kind of forgot, but I just got it. I was like, oh my gosh. And so God has given you a word. And that word is real. I shared with a couple of people just recently as I went through just a major trial, the toughest, hardest, darkest trial. I hung on to 5 scriptures. And I didn't even have to read it. It was so hard, I couldn't even open the Bible or read it. But I'm so thankful that the Word of God is in my heart, and I would quote it. I would quote the scripture. I know the psalm. I know it. And I just continue to pray and seek it. And one of them was Psalms 103 that we read today. Bless the Lord, all my soul, forgetting all his men, who forgives all sins, heals all diseases, satisfies you with good things, crowns you with loving kindness, redeems you. And then I would pray for Psalms 51 verse 8, Lord, bring back the joy in the bones you have broken. Then I would pray for Ecclesiastes 3:11, where it says that God makes all things beautiful in his time. Then I would pray for Ecclesiastes 7:8, the end of the thing is greater than it's been. I would pray for Ephesians 3, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly. And I want to tell you something. Listen to what happened here. God's given you a word. Amen? And right now, I'm living in that word. My family's living in that word. You're living in that word. Now, check this out. It says this. They complained against him. Then Jesus said to him, watch this. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And here's Zacchaeus' response. So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. Are you hearing me? He received God's word joyfully, means that it went into his soul and inspired his life. He came down that tree and his life was already beginning to change. I want to tell you, when you climb a tree, you can say, guess who's coming to dinner at our house? The King of Kings. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what's one of the first things that happens when you encounter Jesus and receive Jesus joyfully? What's the first thing that happens? What's the first? I don't care if you've been a Christian a million times, a million years, whatever. You know what happens? When you receive Jesus, you have an encounter with Jesus, just like Isaiah did. In the year of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord, and he said, I'm undone. I'm undone. What happens? You begin to repent. Amen? God begins to show you some areas you got to get gutted out and get out of your heart. And you begin to get transformed. And your spirit and soul begins to get renewed. And God begins to make changes in your heart, in your thinking. Hallelujah. Then Zacchaeus said, Lord, look, watch this. Right after he said, I received Jesus' word, he says, joyfully, verse 8. He's down the tree and he's in verse 8. He says, look, I'll give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone, I will restore fourfold. Zacchaeus had an encounter for God, and his life began to transform. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. In the world, don't forget this. It's not what we take up, but we give up that makes us rich. Can I say it again? In the world, it's not what we take up, but what we give up that makes us rich. Zacchaeus received a word from God that transformed his life. But even more than that, don't miss this, because I really believe this is what God wants to speak to us. Come on up, worship team. Listen to this. I want to conclude it. Don't miss this. Because, you know, I kind of missed this over the years when I would be preaching and praying for my family. And it just so hit me so deeply today, you know, and how wonderful it is. And even the title, it just touched me about a dynamic. Guess who's coming to dinner? Amen? Think about that. Guess who's coming to dinner? And so verse 9, we didn't read it, and I you might have it up there. You guys have verse 8 and 9, I'm not sure. You have verse 8 and 9, check this out. Let's read it together. This is what takes place. And Jesus said, I think that's verse 9. Do you have verse 8? Oh, don't worry about it, verse 8. I already quoted. Here's verse 9. Look at what it says. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. And then look what it says. This is what blew me away, because I preached on evangelism hundreds of times in conferences, and I would use that. For some reason, I never connected, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. You know, I didn't know it was connected. I read it last night, but I don't remember that. And I sometimes can remember scriptures. Remember what we said about Judas and Rahab? Isn't that what it's all about? Some thug was in a tree. Some sinner, some crazy sinner was in a tree. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. What I love about it says, salvation has come not to just you, Zacchaeus, but your whole household. Come on, give God some glory. Not just you, Zacchaeus. Because guess who's coming to dinner? Now, they didn't have phones. They didn't have telegrams. I don't know how. Maybe he sent the messenger, like, cook a meal. And Jesus is coming to our house. I don't know who his mom was or kids. But Jesus was coming over, like, to have a sleepover. Like, a pajama party. I don't know. But what was the problem? Remember, he received the word joyfully. Jesus gave him a word. And then it says, and Jesus said to him, remember, Zacchaeus says, I'm coming to your house tonight. Make haste. I'm coming to your house. And then it says, and Zacchaeus came down and received him joyfully. The word, you receive it. And then this is what happens when you receive that word joyfully. Today salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man is seeking that was. Stand with me. I want to pray for all of us here. I really do. I want to pray for every one of you that God would reveal something in our life we can lay down. Because when we get to that place, Zacchaeus, we get that place, Zacchaeus, when you get right, there is an absolute radiant that takes place, touches your family. Amen. Touches your world. Hallelujah. And I want to, and I end with this. Guess who's coming to dinner? And I could probably use this title, but my text won't be Zacchaeus. You know what my text will be? Pastor, you'll know it. And many of you know it in other Bibles. I'll maybe put a, maybe part two. Guess who's coming to dinner? My text will be Revelations 3:20. You know that, right? Says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me. Guess who's coming to dinner? Hallelujah. Is that awesome? Is that awesome? It really is. He made haste and came down and received the word joyfully. And that's the promise of God. That's the promise of God. And this morning, there's manyfold. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your family. I want to pray for me. I had the wonderful opportunity to preach at Victor Torres's. And he has like a teen challenge program that's huge, ladies and men. And I was so blessed to tell them that I hold the world record. You know, my family are the really hold the world record. Bobby, too. And Miriam and Diane, we hold the world record of Teen Challenge. The most family members who have ever gone through the program. 55 of my family members have been drug addicts and gone through. Because we believe in this message, your whole household to be saved. There's more family members that got to get saved. Amen? Going over to my nephew's house next week when I get back to help him out. He needs to get saved. Amen? Going over many others. Amen? But here's the word. Listen, don't miss this. This blew me away just now. and I forgot. Do you know what Zacchaeus means? In the Greek and even in the Hebrew, it said this, couldn't believe it. Yah, which is Yahweh, remembers. Yah remembers. And I remember being hardcore. And there was times before Christ and during Christ, I would be crying out to God. And God remembered me. Come on, somebody. God remembers us. And I want to pray for any of you here, all of you here. This is a moment of time to empty yourself and let some stuff out. Because, and the other thing is, God has given you a word. God has given you a word. Yah remembered your word. Yah remembered Zacchaeus. How many here say, Pastor, you're talking to me? Raise your hand. Amen. We want to pray. Amen. We want to ask God to do a work. If that's you, come on down. Join with me. I want to pray for you. You say, Pastor, I want to just position myself, step out, and give my heart, surrender all the stuff that's in me, and ask God to do a new thing in me, and also to receive that word joyfully. Come on up. We want to pray. Amen. Go ahead, worship team. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord.
Here I am.
I'm here to worship. I'm here to bow down and lay my life down for you. My mind, my soul, my heart. I receive your word joyfully, confidently, inspiring in my entire being. And I thank you, Lord, that as for me and my house, we will receive the Lord. We will, say it again, receive the Lord. Come into my house. Come into my home. Come into my soul. It's yours, Lord. I open the door. Come in and dine with me. And I dine with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah! You know, if you want to continue to pray, stay here. Play a little music. The Lord bless you. If you need prayer, I'll pray with you as well. But God bless you all. We love you. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do next week in your life and in my life here at this beautiful church. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor you love him in the Lord. If you need prayer, come with me.